You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Michigan's fruit growers are coming up on a crucial time of the year, harvest time. With the current national climate about immigration, especially tougher ICE actions under President Trump, is that affecting farmers and their ability to get the seasonal workers they need? Are there enough farm laborers to harvest those apples? With us now is Rob Steffens. He owns Steffens Orchards in Sparta in Kent County. And Rob, it is good to have you back on Stateside.
Sure, no problem.
Remind us again, how large is your farm and what do you grow?
I'm an apple grower, about 280 acres.
My understanding is the apples ripened early this year?
We're about a week earlier than last year, but I would still say it's a kind of a normal year as far as timing-wise.
And how many workers do you need to get the harvest done the right way on your farm?
I would say we need anywhere around 40 actual pickers. And then we have support staff from there as far as tractor drivers and whatnot.
And at this point with harvest nearing, do you have enough workers?
You know, we have a smaller crop than we had last year. I think we're about maybe even 60% of what we had the year before. But I think we do. We still want everybody who came back, who worked with us last year, to come back. But we know there's some are not.
What are you hearing? Why are people not coming back?
People don't want to travel. Maybe people in the southern states that maybe used to commute are not traveling. I think some people have aged out. You know, it's too cumbersome for them, and they don't want to do that anymore. So I think there's a couple reasons for it, possibly. I think some of them maybe don't have a driver's license, unable to attain one, don't want to be accidentally pulled over for whatever reason, and then that can cause a problem for them. Just afraid to move is what I'm hearing. Afraid to put themselves at risk, you might say.
Now, have you ever had challenges in past years finding enough workers where you were concerned?
I have had some challenges, I'd say, but we have been able to keep enough workers just by word of mouth. But if it wasn't for the people that work with me now and scrambling to get some people or something, it would have been very tough. Last year, to be honest, we were on the cusp of not having enough, but we were able to sneak through.
And what about other growers? What are you hearing from them?
Well, many people have switched to the H2A program. I'd say it's doubled, I would guess. I don't know the exact numbers, but I would say it's certainly doubled in the last couple of years. So people want a dedicated workforce and are moving to that program because they have to.
And this is, of course, the temporary work visa for foreign workers to get seasonal agricultural work in the U.S. And you're not part of that H2A program at this point. Why not?
I'm not, because I had a very good core group of people that worked with me for a number of years. And through those people, we've been able to, you know, be able to get our crop harvested and everything done the way we wanted to. But as I said, I think we've got people that are aging out. We got some that may not be coming back. We have absolutely zero people coming by looking for work like they used to a few years back. So it's forced these growers to go to a dedicated program, a very cumbersome program, and I think a program, quite honestly, that needs to be more liberalized so it's easier to work with. And that's the other reason why I have not gone to it.
Yeah, what are some of the problems that you feel that you just don't want to have to deal with at this point to be part of the H2A program?
Well, they may want to make you advertise in two or three different papers to prove you can't get local labor. When they come in, you're responsible for getting them to and from a store or a bank or et cetera. You have to provide transportation. The other alternative is to go with a contractor who does all that for you. And that has worked really well for some people. But like I said, I've got a core group of people that have been with me for a long time. They're very good people, and probably my operation wouldn't be where it is without them. And so that's why I've kind of stuck with them.
Overall, Rob, what happens if you don't have enough workers?
Oh, that can be devastating. I mean, if you think about something that you've pruned the tree, you've sprayed the tree, you've fertilized the tree, you've done everything you possibly can to make that fruit as nice as it is, and then you don't have enough people to get it from the tree to into a box, it can be devastating for your storage operation, for the packing operation, for the people that sell it. It's a lose situation all the way down. It's just financially, it's going to be devastating.
And how realistic are the chances that that worst case scenario might play out for you this year?
Being that I'm down on my crop, I'm not as concerned about that at this time, because I think I may have enough labor to get by, but I'm not sure yet. If anything, we'll have to go through the churches or something to get people out of our local city, hopefully, to come out and help. If we have to go to that route, and I don't know if that's possible. I've never had to do that, but came to the thought of that.
Why do you think it is such a hard sell to get Michiganders to come and help on the farms?
Well, several reasons. I think, one, you're in the elements. You're out in the wind, the cold, sometimes the rain. It's hard work. It's physical labor. And I think the kids nowadays just don't, you know, it's hard work. There's just no way around it. But it has to get done.
So just so we're very clear, how concerned are you about having enough workers for this year's crop?
Well, I'm somewhat concerned. I'd be lying if I told you I wasn't. Being that I was down, but I'm down on my crop than I was from last year. But, you know, I looked in our camp, what we have, and I still have some units that are not, don't have any people in, and we're going to be starting picking probably in about the 5th of September. So we're not very far away. And I'm kind of anticipating starting out with a two-thirds of the help that I want. But yeah, we have some people that are picking blueberries that in a couple of weeks will be joining us. So that's what we're hoping for.
Rob, what are your concerns as you think about the years to come and the immigration talk? What are you worried about as you look ahead?
I'm concerned that everything's going to get more red tape-ish, if you will. I'm concerned of the people that are around that don't have driver's licenses that need them, that that'll become a big problem, for more of a problem than it is. I think Michigan needs to allow these people to have the ability to drive. It's solved so many problems. You know, there's 13 states that do it now. I think that's a big issue. Otherwise, you're going to be forced into going to more and more H-2A programs. And that money doesn't stay in the United States. That goes back to Mexico. It's good for as far as getting your crops picked, but as far as any of that money that you're spending, that's going back to Mexico.
Rob Steffens is the owner of Steffens Orchards in Sparta in Kent County, and we wish you a lot of luck with the apple picking season starting next week. Thanks so much, Rob.
Thank you.
The Michigan Farm Bureau responded to its farmer members who were frustrated with the cumbersome H-2A program. It created the Center for Commodity, Farm, and Industry Relations and the Great Lakes Ag Services. Acts as an agent for the farmer, doing the heavy lifting to get those seasonal workers under the H-2A program. Its general manager, Bob Boehm, is here with us now. Thanks for joining us, Bob.
Glad to be here.
So are more farmers and growers bringing in temp and seasonal workers under the H-2A program in Michigan?
Yeah, we've seen a dramatic increase over the last 4 or 5 years.
And if my notes are correct, this year saw about 35 farmers in Michigan using the H-2A visa to bring in some 1,300 workers, most from Mexico. A few years ago, that figure was 10 farms and about 400 workers. So that's definitely on the upswing.
Yeah, it is. Those are just our numbers. The numbers for Michigan have really gone from around 340 in 2012 and 18 contracts to so far this year, 151 contracts and around 6,500 workers. Of that total, 35 farms are working with Great Lakes Ag, but there are many others that are working with other providers or with farm labor contractors, as Rob had mentioned.
So what are you hearing as you talk with farmers who are on the ground in Michigan? What are their worries and their frustrations with getting the help they need?
Well, as I said, this has been a long-term issue for Farm Bureau members, especially those with commodities that rely on hand harvest labor, a very seasonal need. Everything comes on at once in Michigan. We've got a very diverse agriculture, from asparagus in the spring right on through vegetables in the summer, blueberries, apples, cherries, even into Christmas trees and pumpkins in the fall. And all of those require a big increase in hand harvest labor for those seasons when the crop is due. We have a lot of weather issues that we need to get the crops out of the field before weather impacts the quality. So historically, Michigan has had good labor housing, and we'd be able to attract migrant workers that would travel across the country and follow the crop and end up Michigan as one of the far north states. And we really saw that decline ever since 9/11, tightening border. People are aging out. Kids are going to school, finding other things to do. And people just aren't traveling like they used to. And in 2012, Michigan suffered a major freeze event, and we lost most of our fruit crops. So we didn't need labor that year, and we were concerned what was going to happen in 2013 when the crop came back strong, which it did. The workers did not return, and that became an acute issue, and that's what really pushed us to do a pilot in 2014 and then create the company in early 2015 to try to address the needs of our members.
So just basically, H2A 101, what does it do for the farmer?
Okay, well, it's a program that's been around a long time. Really, the history goes back to World War II, but it's basically one of the many visas that are available. This is the H2A for foreign workers, agricultural workers that can come in and help on a temporary basis. There's a limited number of crops that they will allow because they have to be seasonal. It can't be year-round employment. And the goal is really to bring in workers that we can't provide enough domestic workers to complete the jobs. So as Rob mentioned, you've got to do the advertising and positive recruitment before you're allowed to bring in visa workers to ensure that you've provided those job opportunities to domestic workforce first.
Rob said, and you agree, the process is cumbersome, isn't it?
Well, we work with four different government agencies. We work with the Michigan Works Office to try to, first of all, post the jobs and make sure that we've gotten those out so that people in the state or in the United States are able to have the opportunity to apply for those jobs. But then we work through a job order that details all of the information that's necessary, and you're really entering into a contract between the farmer and that employee. That employee wants to know, what are you going to pay me? What's the job? Where am I going to be housed? Is the housing inspected? All of those things are laid out in the contract so that they know when they're leaving home where they're going to be and how much money they're going to make and what the job is. That's very detailed. It gets longer and longer as you have more and more information required. So there is a complex program with this between the Department of Labor wanting to make sure that we've provided the opportunities for domestic workers, with the Immigration and Customs Enforcement to make sure that the people that we're bringing in on the visa don't present a security risk. We also want to make sure that these workers know where they're going to be going and they're transported safely through the border and on up to our farm. So we contract with a recruiting company in Mexico to locate these workers, to communicate what the jobs are. And then we also contract with a bus company, so we provide the transportation so they can get safely across the border and across the country to our farms. We also then, as a part of our service, provide bilingual translation, and we meet them when they arrive at the farm so that we can provide the training and go through the paperwork, make sure that they've got all the proper documentation that they need, so that when we leave the farmer has a folder on each employee that has the proper I-9 and all the completed information, and the worker has been trained in their own language and understands what their job and responsibilities are, and they've been introduced into their housing.
I think what you're describing between all of the government agencies involved and then all the support and help you offer sounds like it's a significant cost. What does this cost a farmer per worker?
Well, under the program, the employer is required to pay all of the travel costs, all of the visa and border crossing fees and transportation, as well as subsistence and any hotels, to get the worker up here and then also on the return once they've completed the contract. That costs probably around $1,600 per worker. And then, as Rob had indicated, the worker or the employer must provide housing. And as Rob also indicated, because these people are coming up without a vehicle, they need to have an opportunity to get to town at least once a week for groceries and banking and laundry and that type of thing. So it's not a cheap program, but these workers are here for the duration. Often we have, as I mentioned, asparagus might start in early May. Apples can go on into November. It's been difficult to get people that will commit to come for that extended period of time. They may have children in school. It gets to be a challenge to move before school might be out in Texas or Florida to come to Michigan to do that early harvest of asparagus, or likewise in the fall when school starts to get the kids back in school. It's been a problem on those bookends, and it's been more of a problem than throughout the season. So this does provide dedicated workforce of experienced workers that can come in, do those jobs, get paid, and then they return home and they're able to come back the following year.
How much competition are Michigan farmers facing from other states for these workers?
Michigan is one of the last states to really embrace the H-2A program. We have historically had a lot of housing here and been able to lure people here, and they'd return year after year. A lot of long-term relationships between the farmers and the employees. But it was, as I said, in 2012, it just sort of became acute that we needed to do something different. The people just weren't returning. As Rob had said, that's a common theme that we hear from our members all across the state. Other states have embraced this program much earlier. Florida, Washington State, on the East Coast, a lot of states have already gone to the H-2A program. We were one of the later ones to do it. And frankly, it was because of the perceptions that Rob and others have about the complexity of dealing through four government agencies and all of the requirements and documentation. So our role is really to make this a palatable program. The H-2A program is really the only viable program we have right now. So we're trying to work with farmers, streamline the process, be able to do enough of them that we can have some economies here and understand how to work the program and be able to do it totally within the regulations.
Bob, if you could make one change in the H-2A program to improve it or tweak it to make it more accessible to farmers, what would that be?
Well, we have a number of changes we think we could help assist this program be more productive and be a little easier to work with. We compete with countries all over the world. One close by is Canada. They have a program called their Farm Program, and it's much less costly and has more flexibility into it. The farmers here have to anticipate their labor needs 75 days before their date of need. They have to file their application. And as you know, in Michigan, the weather can change daily, and what your expectations are of your crop size and what your labor needs and how many people are going to come back and your domestic workforce really impacts that visa request. So the time frame that you have to for the lead time is really cumbersome, especially in an agricultural enterprise when you're relying on Mother Nature. So we'd like to see more flexibility in the program. We'd like to see the government agencies communicating a little bit closer together so that when there's a challenge, we've got a way of addressing that. Our goal is to have it be a good experience for everybody so that we can have workers returning year in and year out so they're experienced, they know the job, and it's much easier the second and third year, we're finding.
Bob Ames, the General Manager, Center for Commodity, Farm, and Industry Relations and the Great Lakes Ag Labor Services. Bob, thank you so much for taking us into what it takes for our Michigan growers to get the workers they need using the H-2A system.
Well, you're welcome. We appreciate the opportunity.